Welcome back to the podcast series that seeks to explore one of the greatest mysteries in the world and arguably the most studied object known to exist, the Shroud of Turin. This week in Who is the Man of the Shroud, we are going to address a question that has been raised by a few of our listeners and generated some discussion on our social media sites. And this is great. Please keep your questions coming. As we've said all along, the more we know about the Shroud, the more questions we have. This is Dr. Cheryl White, and with me here in the studio is Father Peter Mangum. Our issue this week relates to some of the specific physical attributes of the Man of the Shroud. So, Father Peter, we've had a question about the height of the man depicted on the cloth. According to forensic calculations, he was 5'10" tall and weighed approximately 170 pounds, something that we just barely touched upon in an early episode. Proof that our listeners are truly listening, several have asked, isn't this man too tall to be an ancient Jew? Is this evidence that the Man of the Shroud could not possibly be the historical Jesus of Nazareth?
Yes, this is a great question. Along with some of the other physical characteristics that are evident about the Man of the Shroud, let's remember the point we should begin with always, that the image is that of a naked, scourged, and crucified man, a man who has also been capped with a crown of thorns. While the height might be considered above average for a first century Jew, we know that first century cemetery sites in Jerusalem bear evidence of male skeletons who were this height or even taller. There are some other interesting physical indicators of the man's ethnic identity. For example, the Man of the Shroud had a beard, long hair held in a ponytail, both suggesting Jewish male customs of that day and age. Skeletal remains found near Qumran at the Dead Sea from the ancient Jewish sites reveal very similar burial practices to what we know from this shroud. While it's interesting to focus on very specific details, it's really helpful to remember that the Man of the Shroud becomes all the more compelling when we look at all of the accumulated evidence, being able to weigh the significance in light of all that we know. When we consider it this way, the fact that this man was perhaps taller than the first century average says very little about its authenticity. The fact that this man also had physical characteristics consistent with Jewish customs, and that the shroud itself represents an authentic Jewish burial, really serves to refocus us on the whole image, the whole picture, of which his physical height is but one part.
Those are all excellent points, and a good explanation of the physical indicators of identity can be found in several good sources that we might recommend. One is, of course, the critical summary published by the American Confraternity of the Holy Shroud, edited by Dr. John Jackson, as well as Mark Antonacci's 2015 work called Test the Shroud at the Atomic and Molecular Levels. Focusing on his physical appearance, however, brings up yet another question that goes back to the VP8 analyzer of 1976 that showed the image is actually three-dimensional. There's been a lot of work done to extract that dimensional coding information, making it possible for computer graphics experts to show us what this man might have actually looked like. This is where we are at somewhat of a disadvantage because this is an audio program, after all, and we obviously cannot show you, but we should encourage our listeners to seek out some of those images online. Remember, there is no other photograph or artwork known to exist in the world that behaves like the Shroud of Turin when analyzed using that NASA technology. How a two-dimensional image is actually three-dimensional is baffling. The reason that three-dimensionality is so important to mention again, however, is because it underscores the physical attributes of the Man of the Shroud are anatomically perfect. There's at least one other aspect to this question, however, that certainly merits a mention. If one accepts the carbon-14 dating of the cloth at 1260 to 1390, noting that the shroud first turns up in the historical record in 1355, then we must make an assumption that is equally unusual as a tall first-century Jew. For a man to be 5'10" tall is rare for medieval Europe as well.
Right. So ultimately, we are left with the same issue. Whether one accepts this as a medieval artwork from the 14th century, or rather as the authentic burial cloth of Jesus Christ from the first century, the man was taller than average. Yet, given what we understand about human diversity, the significance of this begins to fade when considered with everything else we know. I'm glad you brought up the three-dimensionality of the shroud image again. Not only does no other photograph or artwork have that 3D characteristic, but again, the physical form of the man of the shroud can be studied today in a way that was never possible before. Think about it. We've often talked about how the medieval pilgrim would have approached this cloth, venerated it, knelt before it, yet never knowing any of what we know. Remember, we didn't see the image until the invention of photography, and it wasn't until the late 20th century that scientists were able to forensically calculate that the image was in fact a true human form, not a painting. Even the greatest artistic masters of history could not produce a perfect human form, anatomically correct in every way, aligning with everything that forensic science demands as accuracy today. Yet the man of the shroud is just such a human being.
So next week, please join us again as we zero in on yet another aspect of the shroud that we've touched upon previously. It's possible linked to another cloth held in Oviedo, Spain. This Oviedo cloth also offers many clues and potentially so many leads that can be followed to try to answer its mysteries as well as that of the Shroud of Turin. There are some conclusions that are quite interesting to contemplate. And of course, from my perspective, I love the related question of, what can history tell us?
Until then, please subscribe to this series on iTunes, follow us on Facebook. Also, there is more information to be found at the website of our Cathedral of St. John Berkman's Parish at sjbcathedral.org. Look for information coming soon about another major shroud event in Shreveport this fall, featuring Dr. John Jackson himself of the original 1978 Shroud of Turin Research Project. October is the 40th anniversary of the only comprehensive scientific examination of the cloth that has ever been made, giving us the incredible amount of data that we have to draw upon even now. And the nuclear physicist who is still very actively involved in studying the shroud will be here in Shreveport. Whatever you believe this cloth to be, it continues to stretch the limits of the human imagination and invites us in to know more about the man of the shroud, whose body has been scourged, nailed, lanced, capped with thorns, bruised, whom I, as a Catholic priest, believe to be Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, God with us, the Word made flesh and splendor of the Father, born of the Virgin in Bethlehem, nourished and grew, matured, at all times like us in all things but sin, who suffered and experienced death for our sake, death on the cross. In the words found in the Office of Readings from last week, third Friday of Easter, from a sermon by St. Ephrem, we read, "We give glory to you, Lord, who raised up your cross to span the jaws of death like a bridge by which souls might pass from the region of the dead to the land of the living. We give glory to you who put on the body of a single mortal man and made it the source of life for every other mortal man. You are incontestably alive. Your murderers sowed your living body in the earth as farmers sow grain, but it sprang up and yielded an abundant harvest of men raised from the dead. Let us offer our Lord the great and all-embracing sacrifice of our love, pouring out our treasury of hymns and prayers before him who offered his cross in sacrifice to God for the enrichment of us all." Until next week, thank you for joining us for Who is the Man of the Shroud?